Can you tell them what Aleph? Omer Rav Avo, two lines on the bottom. Omer Rav Avo, Omer Rav Yochanan. Halacha Kerb Yehuda. Who's Halacha Kerb Yehuda? Even on the Mishnah, on Yitimel Aleph, which is the beginning of the second parak, said that, what did it say? It said, Ben Aprakim, Be'emsa HaParek, there's a whole different times you can be Mafsik in the Kriya Shema, Ibnei Ha'iram, Ibnei HaKavod, different ways, different times you can be Mafsik. And then the Mishnah asked, what's Ben Aprakim? And it gave all different examples, including between MS V'yatzi, MS, V'yomer Lev, MS V'yatzi. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that Ben V'yomer Lev, MS V'yatzi, Lo Yafsik. You're not supposed to make a Hafsik. So the Gemara over here says that indeed we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, halachas Rabbi Yehuda. Diomer Ben Elokeichem, MS V'yatzi, Lo Yafsik. So Omer Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say this? That we're not supposed to be masik between this, and we can be masik any other Ben Aprakim, what's the difference? So the Chassid, the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Emes, Hashem Elokim Emes. So therefore, what do we learn out from here? The Pasuk says it this way. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says in the top, Okach, Ein Masikin Ben Ani Hashem Elokeichem Lema Emes. Because the Pasuk apparently doesn't have a break between it, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, so therefore that's how we're going to have it as well. So one of the ways that we understood this was that just like you can look at the Hashem, which is Midas HaChesed, Elokim is Midas HaDin, nonetheless you put them together, Hashem Elokim or Hashem Elokeichem, MS, that's the MS, but the mix between the two. Okay, that was what we did that last time. Do you say MS again or not? So what exactly is the Shaila? Rashi doesn't help us out over here, but the question, what does that mean? It could mean one of a couple of things. Apparently it means, and the simple shot is, that it means that you said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem MS, and then you go again, say MS V'Emunah, MS V'Yatziv. The Ritva says a little bit differently. The Ritva says like this. The Ritva says, this is the Gemara's Kasha. I'm just reading it out loud. I said it made copies of this. Kaloimar, Heicha Shepasach Mimnei HaYira, Mimnei HaKavod, even though we pass on Kabihuda. That you're not supposed to be Masik at that point. But let's say you were Masik Mimnei HaKavod, Mimnei HaYira, Acha Shemar Emes. So the question is, at that point, even though you're not supposed to have been Masik, so now do you have to say MS again? That's how the Ritva learns it. Inami, another shot in the Ritva. Kigun Shisim, Kriya Shema, Kodim Shlech Tzibor. So you finish the Shema, and you're waiting for the Chazan to finish, for him to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So Mamtin Shiaskal L'Chazan Shemar Imo, Sarach Lachzor Emes Pamacheres Olo. The question is, do you have to say it again? So apparently, according to the Ritva, he feels that maybe by you waiting even a few seconds for the Chazan to finish the Shema, that's also a Hefsek. That may be considered to be a Hefsek. Not only if you spoke, but even by waiting, that may be the Gemara's question. Now this, the Rush says that can't possibly be, because we learned already on the previous Amud that a person's allowed to be Mafsek for the Hallel, for Megillah reading, and the only time we're makbid is when it comes to kiyah shofar. The Gemara says that if you're shok de ligmor's kula, habi hafsek. If you waited the entire time, the person could have blown like another 100 blasts of tekiyos, that's when it's a hafsek. So yes, it doesn't make any sense that could really be the Gemara's shiloh, because obviously you weren't masik that long. How long were you waiting for the chazan to finish? Right? Couldn't have been that long. So therefore, he says that was not really the Shah of the Gemara, and the Shah of the Gemara must be, according to the Ritva, whether or not, if you interrupted the davening, that you were mafsik, even though we hold like a Yehuda, not like the Tanakh, like the other minion, whether you have to say MS again. So the answer to the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chayzer Amar MS. You do have to say it again. Rabba Oimer, you do not have to. And apparently, that's part of the halacha. So someone was davening in front of Rabba. Shami Rabba, the Omer MS, MS, Trezimni. So Rabba overheard that what did he do? He did exactly what he was not supposed to do. He said MS Trezin. Obviously, he said it twice. So, is that a good thing or not such a good thing? Good evening. Omar Rabba, so Rabba, upon hearing this, said, Kol MS, Tafse Lahai. This person must enjoy, he grabs hold onto the word MS, right? And what exactly does that mean? Or in Yudal the base toward the top. Is Rabba encouraging us to say it twice or not? So Rashi only says like this in the second line. Rehita shel emes tafsihu zeh. It's clear that the words of emes, he's being typhus, he's grabbing hold of. He must love this word emes. But the way the Mefarshim learn is like this, that the fact that he says emes twice, it shows similar to a person who would maybe say Shema twice, or a person who would say Psukim twice, that it's Nifse Kishtei Rishuyos, right? You're acting like this is true and this is true. There's two truths, right? There's only one Torah, there's only one truth. There's only one emes. So therefore, the fact that you say it twice is actually very bad. So that's how some people learn out Kol emes, Tafsil Ahai, that you should not repeat the word emes at all. Okay, again, that doesn't necessarily mean, according to the Ritva, when in general, but it means if you spoke after the Shema before the next paragraph. Continuing the Gemara,
He's about Tofes.
That's correct. That's right. Okay, Omrav. So he, it's clearly not supposed to repeat. Omrav Yosef, Kama new piece, Kama Malia. We're going to see that. What's the connection of this piece to the piece above is a beautiful shot. We'll see in a second. So the Gemara says like this. Omar Rabbi Yosef, Kama Malia Hashmaisisa. How beautiful is the following sugya. The Chiyasa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Omar, that when Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came, he said that Amri Ben Marav, they say in the West in Eretz Yisrael the following. So you have to let us know if this is what they do in Eretz Yisrael, because you're going this week. Arvis, at night, they would say the following third paragraph. Instead of our huge, long, enormous third paragraph of Kriya Shema, exaggerating, but this is what they would say instead of it. Davero b'nei Yisrael v'yamart alehem, ani Hashem elokechem emes. That was their third paragraph of the Shema. That was their whole third paragraph of the Shema. So what was the significance of this? First of all, Let's look at Rashi. Rashi explains the reason why it's dafka at night. Why they decided to cut corners in the third paragraph of the Shema at night. So the third line on the top says like this. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Why is it the Kriya Shema Shel Arvis that they cut the third paragraph? And Karnim Parsha Sitzis Kul Afisha and Mitzvah Sitzis Belayla. Right? There's no Mitzvah Sitzis Belayla. So there's no point in really reading it. So we just skip all those parts. So then why do we say anything at all? Avo Maschil Lenoisa. We begin it. We basically chop it up. In order that we can still get into the word MS and go into the next paragraph. So this way we're doing great. So it's a terrific thing that they do in Eretz Yisrael. A beautiful, beautiful thing. This way, again, it's Dafka Arvis. The Ritva says similarly to Rashi, because it's no Chiyuv. And this way they're also able to chapara in MS V'Emunah. So,
well, I can report to you now. That's not the case.
Are you sure? Because you've been there before, so this is not your first trip.
They don't skip the third part.
No. So the kasha is, the Gemara is going to say, why is that such a great thing? Even before you ask why is that such a great thing, you can ask, what's the big deal? The third paragraph, do you have to really skip it? Why is it so important that it has to be skipped? Right? What's the significance of this? The Chasam Sofer and the Meir Be'er give two answers. Right? This is, why, who cares? So, okay, it's, we don't say it, the whole thing because there's no tzitzis. There's no mitzvah tzitzis. So what? There's no mitzvah tzitzis. So what? Say it anyway. What's the difference? So the Chasam Sofer says, beautiful. Even it's unbelievable. He connects it to our Gemara above. The Gemara above is talking about Hashem Elokechem Emes and the question about saying Emes to Emunah. He says like this, Kivan de Belayla loves man tzitzis. Ain lo shaychus l'kriyashma, Bahavi Hefsek. But the Sanhedrin Sefer says you shouldn't say it. The reason why they did, they skipped it, was not because, hey, you don't have to say it, but you shouldn't say it. And the Gemara above was the whole thing, according to the reading of the Ritva, is the whole problem of being, of repeating MS is because there's a Hefsek. So it's the same thing. People in Eretz Yisrael looked at the third paragraph in the Shema and said, we shouldn't say the whole thing. We shouldn't say the whole thing. It's a Hefsek. It breaks up the whole davening. There's no point in saying it. And therefore, it's wrong to be masik at that point. Badafka at that point. Between the Shema and MS Yemuna. So therefore, that's one. That's one answer the Chassam Sofer gives. The Meba'er says like this. It only says three words. Oy Yishlomar demichsik sas kishikul. You look like a liar. You're lying. Here you are talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and there's no tzitzis to be found on your person. Assuming that it's not a mitzvah of tzitzis anyway, so I'm not wearing tzitzis, let's say. Right? There's no mitzvah of wearing tzitzis, so I'm not wearing them, or there's no purpose of talking about
them. You get them. Absolutely no credit for wearing tzitzis in life.
Right. Right. Exactly. So then, the fact that you're talking about it, it looks like you're lying. In fact, that's going to be connected to the Gemara we're going to see. The very bottom of this Almud, which the Gemara is going to end up saying the second line from the bottom, says very famous line, "Kolakar Krishma b'lo tefillin ki'il med edus sheker ba'atzmo." That if you wear tefillin, you're saying the Shema, and you're not, and you're saying ukshartem, right? This talking about ha'ilototafos, and not wearing the tefillin, it's like edus sheker. It's like you're a liar, you're a false testimony, because you're saying that you do these things, and you don't, they're not to be found on you. The same idea over here is that the Badafka would not want this third paragraph to be said the way it's said because it's a problem. Because there's no mitzvah of tzitzis, so you shouldn't mention it at all. It's like Eda Sheker, which is very sensitive to those words, the mixik sas, because of course that's what we do, right? That's what we do. The question is, why do we do it? If in fact it could possibly, like the Chassam Sofer, be a Hesek. And if it's possible in the mixed sas kesheker, it looks like we're lying. So the question is, why do we say the third paragraph? It's wrong. We should follow like the people in Eretz Yisrael. So to answer that question, we're going to show that maybe what they're doing is not such a great thing. We'll see the continuing tomorrow. So what else is it this? So they would say, Dabar el b'nei Yisrael, v'mar talehem, ani Hashem l'kechem, emas. That was their whole third paragraph. Why was this such a great thing? Such a terrific thing that they're doing. Chopping up this whole thing, starting off a paragraph, and then cutting part of it. Rav Gahana said the name of Rav. Lo Yaskil. He holds, don't even say it at all. Don't say the third paragraph of the Shema at all, because there's no need to really say it. Okay? We're going to talk about Yisrael Mitzrayim. There's a chiyuv to say even at night. Everyone's going to ask that question later on. But lo yaschil, don't begin it. Im hischil gone. So if you already began saying the Shema, the third paragraph, you better finish it. Right? So what did they do? They began it. So im hischil, he says, Rav holds that once you begin the third paragraph of the Shema, you have to finish saying it. So how could they do such a thing? The chiyuv, if you want to tell me. Via Marta Alehem Lo Havi Haschala. What does beginning mean? Does beginning mean the first word? Probably not. It has to show that you're saying something which is unique to that paragraph. Unique to that paragraph is not going to be the first word or even the second word. If you want to, maybe via Marta Alehem. The fact all they did was get up to the words via Marta Alehem, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael, via Marta Alehem. Maybe that doesn't really consider, it's not considered like the beginning of the third paragraph at all, and the Lohavi Haskalah, therefore you didn't really do anything wrong, that you can just chop it up at that point. You didn't really get into the third paragraph yet. Because maybe there's other psukim which have those words anyway. The Yom Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Omarav, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, Lohavi Haskalah. If they only said Daber El Bnei Yisrael, I agree that that's not a Haskalah, and therefore you do not have to continue the third paragraph. However, Biyamar Kalehem, once you already say those next two words, Biyamar Kalehem, Havi Haskalah, that's considered to be a Haskalah. And since that's considered already to be a Haskalah, they should not be allowed to finish. They should not be allowed to finish it at all. So the question is, how were they able to do such a thing? Apparently they were wrong. Okay, fine. So this is how we answered it. Omar Papa. Now, Papa says like this. Very interesting explanation. Sari b'marava, you're right. Those people, the people in Bavel, they held of this drasha. That once you said the words b'marka lehem, it's a haskal. But not everyone holds like that. The people in Eretz Yisrael held b'marka lehem nami lo havi haskal. That's also not considered starting the third paragraph. Ad v'omer v'asu lehem tzitzis. Once, if they would have said those words, which is unique to that third paragraph, then you have to say the entire third paragraph. You can't cut any corners. But according to them, the Amart Elohim is not a Haskalah, and therefore they're allowed to jump right into Ani Hashem Elokei Chemem is finished. Now this is where the Gemara gets really interesting. Amar Abaye Abaye says, oh, now we're going to follow what they do in Eretz Yisrael. Hilchoth, therefore, Anan Aschuli Maschulinas. We are also going to start it as they start it. We're going to say, Daber al-Bnei Yisrael b'yamart elehem. Now, we would love to do what they do in Eretz Yisrael and just go right into Anei Hashem Elokeichem. Emes. Now, why are we going to begin Daber al-Bnei Yisrael b'yamart elehem? To come as chal b'amarava, right? Our people that we look up to and are so dear to us in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they do. B'kivan das chalinan migmar nami gamrinan. However, since we began it, and according to us, we paskin that once you said Abraham Nisol Miyamart Elohim, then that's already considered to be a haskalah for us. Therefore, we have to finish the entire third paragraph. Tamarab Kahanamarab, after all he said, Voyaskil, Himhiskil Gamar, that if you already began, then you have to finish the whole third paragraph. So, very interesting. The way that the Gemara is learning is the reason why we say the whole third paragraph is because we mimic the B'nai Eretz Yisrael, that they said, Dabriel B'nai Sobri Marat Elohim. Now, according to them, they can just say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes, finished. Not a problem. But according to us, since we consider Dabriel B'nai Sobri Marat Elohim already Haskalah, we cannot just finish off Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. We have to do the entire third paragraph. Okay. Which I'm imagining would end up happening if this is how it turned out, and probably end up happening if this was adapted again in Eretz Yisrael. What happened in Chutz La'aretz, that they said the whole third paragraph again went back to the custom of B'nai Ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael. But at one point they didn't. Right, but I mean, no great rule.
As we're going through, something occurs to me that's run
you. Yes.
And it's in the process of something that reading every day for kid, and Vasuma Hemtzitzik. What is the Vasu? Is the Vava Hibur? Is it Vava Hibur? If it's a Vava Hibur, it should say Vasuma Hemtzitzik.
Yes.
If it's a Vava Hibur, then maybe there is a division there. Maybe you're really looking at this and saying that you can make a break there. The Bear of Israel, and then. So then you have a Vava Hipa, so it may be somewhat of a separation or being.
On the surface, it sounds like a Vava Hipa. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
The question exactly, unfortunately, we'll really go into this, but the question of what is Haskalah, apparently it sounds like Haskalah is something which shows the uniqueness of that particular paragraph, the introduction. If someone would read a couple of words, some of them are so generic, you don't know what. But once you already read a few more words, that's considered haskalah, that you're already in the paragraph. Otherwise, you can divert, you can move. With that, this actually answers a different question, which the Gemara doesn't deal with. The Gemara, apparently, should have another problem. And what's that problem? There's an issue that, what did they do? This great thing that they did in Eretz Yisrael. What they did was, anytime, they didn't want to say this whole third paragraph. So, the question is, let's see, who says this? Who asked this kasha? There's a another Pashut Kasha over here, that we know that any time in which there's a Pasuk, which is already stated, which is a whole Pasuk, you're not allowed to split it up, right? Well, I just want to get the exact Russian over here. It says like this: the whole parsha, the lo paska Moshe, lo paskina. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the various pesukim, even though you don't see the so pasuk and the Torah itself. But Moshe instituted. This is where the pasuk stops. This is the next pasuk. This is where the next pasuk stops. The whole parsha, the lo paska Moshe, lo paskina. Any parsha which was not divided by Moshe, we also cannot divide it. So the question is like this: that if we already have a pasuk, Dabra Bnei Yisrael V'Yamart Elohim, you're not allowed to break it in half. You're not allowed to do that because it's in Moshe Rabbeinu instituted that the sentence continues, V'Yamart Elohim, etc. So really, the Shaila, in addition to this whole Haskalah business, is you're not allowed to take half of a pasuk. You're not allowed to read half a pasuk. And when you're, let's say, laning, you can't say, okay, this is, I disagree with where this pasuk ends. I'm going to end the pasuk here and start the next pasuk there. You're not allowed to do that. You have to read the pesukim exactly as we were given. So the question is, how do the people in Eretz Israel have the right to do this? They're going against the way that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the pesukim. So the Ritva gives two answers. The second one is a wild answer, a great answer. The first one, he says like this: that the whole reason that that's an issue is because you're going to end up teaching people the wrong way it's actually done. But since the people in Eretz Yisrael did read the entire third paragraph in its entirety by Shachris already, so therefore it's not an issue because when they did this in Marg, because they show already in the morning the right way of reading. Here's another answer, a beautiful answer like this. It says the whole reason why you're not allowed to do this is because you can't take a pasuk and split it in half and say, this is now a pasuk. Because it's not a pasuk. That's not the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was given. It says like this: the Yesh Omrim, I saw the Sheet of Gebetza says this as well, the Mashikas of Luchosh and Hesek, the pasuk Shalim who Seif Achrei Mos, is actually a pasuk exactly like this in Parshas Achrei Mos. In Perek Yuches Pasuk Aleph, the pasuk reads, look it up in Parshas Acharei Mos. It says, "Dabrel bnei Yisrael v'marta lehem ani Hashem Elokeichem, ani Hashem Elokeichem." There's actually a pasuk exactly like that in Eretz in Acharei Mos. So therefore, the reason why the Gemara didn't ask that question is because they took the third paragraph. They're not really reading that from the third paragraph. It's not the third paragraph of the Shema at all. It's a different pasuk from Acharei Mos, a complete pasuk. They didn't break that pasuk, but the beauty, why it's a beautiful thing that they did, the reason why the Gemara says it's a Malyasa, is because they took a whole pasuk, they didn't divide it, and that pasuk ends in Hashem Elokeichem. So they were still able to end off with MS de Amunah. So that was the beauty of what they did. So this way they didn't have to break up any pasukim, and also they were able to completely skip the third paragraph. So therefore, this is the idea, that the reason why, according to the people in Eretz Yisrael, did not consider the why didn't they consider the haskalah? Because those words in this whole pasuk had nothing to do with the third paragraph at all. It wasn't even the third paragraph. It was a completely different pasuk from a different parsha. Exactly. So therefore, according to the people in Eretz Israel, that's why they were allowed to do this, because it wasn't the third paragraph. It wasn't a haskalah. For whatever reason, the people in Babel didn't consider that to be the case. It gives the indication, you just did paragraph 1, paragraph 2, obviously this is the third paragraph, and once you said, V'yamart Elohim, which we do, we're going to have to continue on and finish up.
But there's a place that we do take a pasuk, and many times, you know, from Slichas till the end of the Amun HaNorayim, yes, the Shosh HaShrim Midot.
Yeah.
And we say, that fits what we wanted to say for the tefillah perfectly, but it's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says v'nakei lo yanakei.
Right.
So how do we reconcile that if you can't divide up a pasuk? That's not like dividing up a pasuk, but dividing it in such a way that it really changes the meaning.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't found a good answer.
So what bad answers have you heard?
I haven't really heard a bad answer.
Let me tell you a bad answer.
Okay.
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted and taught Moshe Rabbeinu this specific ingredient for a person to do tshuva, so he said that this is the what these are the exact words you should say.
Made an exception over there.
I mean, you're right. You're breaking up the pasuk, but on the other hand, Hashem is telling us this is exactly the words you're supposed to say in this context. Maybe. That's your bad answer, but I don't know any good answers.
We're still. You know, stopping in the middle of a pasuk and leaving out the words we choose to leave out because it puts the meaning more to
it. Even in Eretz Yisrael,
they say what? The Gimel Midos?
No, not Ken.
Oh, right.
Also in Ma'ariv, when we wind up in Eretz Yisrael,
yes.
We do leave out something. We leave out the whole last section in the Davening.
That's not, those aren't psukim. That's not part of it.
But it is something that does abbreviate the section between the Shema and the Shema Esrei.
Right. We got into that before. On one hand, seems like a half six, so you shouldn't say. On the other hand, there's an Indian for it.
Right.
Corresponds to the Shema Esrei or whatever in those days. But this is what they did in B'nai Merav. There's also another kasha, which they get into about Kiddush. Because if we start off the Pasuk, by Yom HaShishi, right? But the pasuk doesn't begin, right? Or we say Vayir B'Boker Yom HaShishi, but it doesn't begin with Vayir B'Boker. I have to look up where it begins. But the shaila is why we have to do that over there as well. So I actually say there's some sidur, whatever sidur mentions, actually have the whole pasuk in parentheses before. Not everyone knows what to do. The question is why not? So it's certainly worthwhile doing research. But that's how they answer that particular question with regard to here, is that it's a complete pasuk. It's a pasuk in Achrei Mos. All right, let's move on with the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Okay. First word on Chia. Chia barav oimer. Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. If a person said the word Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Sarich Lomer Emes, you need to then continue and say the words Emes, which means Emes V'Yemuna. Lo Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Enu Sarich Lomer Emes. Once you didn't say that at all, you skip that entire section of the third paragraph, the Shema. You no longer have to say Emes. You don't have to say Emuna. Okay, it's not necessary. So we're asking 1 second. You're telling me you don't have to do this, you don't have to say this whole third paragraph. Hey, you said it, you don't. But there's a problem. If you did not say the sentence of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then you're skipping out a very important part. But boy, L'adkri Yisias Mitzrayim. Right? You're skipping Yisias Mitzrayim. The third paragraph has in it. That's one of the reasons why we say it. Which is a chiyuv to say even at night. So he says like this. So even though we don't say that, even if you would have the minute not to say that third paragraph, even though you're supposed to acknowledge the Yisias Mitzrayim, if you look at Rashi quotes a Gemara which we had previously in the Beis Amud Beis, it's the Mishnah, Maskir Yisias Mitzrayim Leilos, which is also we say at the Seder, in the Haggadah. So he says, the Amar Hachim, the Gemara says, this is what you should say, Modi Manachnu Locha Hashem Elokeinu, Shehotzi his son of Eretz Mitzrayim with the son of Yisrael Avadim, Yosis Lanunisim, Igburos, Al Hayom, Beshreinu. So it's basically you say an extra tefillah that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, redeemed us from the house of the Avadim, and Beis Avadim from being slaves, did miracles and greatness for us, and he was powerful, causing us to cross the Yam. So therefore, that's how the Gemara answers that this is what you can do. You can just say this. Instead of the third paragraph Shema, you're still yotzi your maski says the tzrayim leilos, and all is fine and good. Everything is great. Now, the Gemara's kasha was how are you supposed to say this is the Tzrayim? Going into that, you can just say it in a special paragraph. Slach asks a question like this. The Slach asks, on this Gemara's Kasha, is that why are we bothered dafka in Yisias Mitzrayim? Isn't there another problem? The Gemara just said like this. If you don't say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you don't have to say MS, you know, which means you don't have to say MS Mi'amuna Kozos, right, or B'yatziv. He asks like this. Amaymol Parech Batzarech Levarech Achareha Shtei Brachos. There's a, we mentioned before that you don't, it's not just the mitzvah of saying the Shema, there's Birchas Kriya Shema. So what do you mean? Oh, if you didn't say the sentence, you don't have to say the bracha afterwards. What do you mean? You have to say the brachas afterwards, right? Well, so the Gemara instead asks the question about Yisias Mitzrayim. Ask the Slach, why doesn't the Gemara ask the question of how you can skip one of the Birchas Kriya Shema? Well, you don't have a right to do that. So he says like this, Yishleimer denichle lamapich miskiris Yisias Mitzrayim dehu diraisa. That he would rather, the Gemara would, could have asked that kasha, but says the Slach, they'd rather ask the kasha of Yisias Mitzrayim as opposed to how could you skip Birchas Kriya Shema because Yisias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah d'oraisa dimension. And then he says from here, it's a proof, like the words of the Rambam that holds that Yisias Mitzrayim, when the whole Mishnah says it's afgalelos, you're supposed to mention even at night. There's actually a shaila among the Rishonim whether or not that's a mitzvah derabbanan or a mitzvah deraisa. Right? According to the Rambam, he holds that mentioning Yisias Mitzrayim at night is also a mitzvah deraisa. Not everyone holds like that. The Rif and the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, hold that Sechiras Yisias Mitzrayim at night is only mitzvah derabbanan. But nonetheless, the Rambam learns out from the words of the Slach and from the Gemara, that it must be that it really is deraisa. Why? Why? Because if it was derabanan, like the words of the Rosh and Rif, then why did the Gemara ask the question only about Yisias Mitzrayim? Could have just as well asked the question about Birchas Shema, which is also derabanan. So why did the Slach say that the Gemara asked only about the Yisias Mitzrayim? Because it is deraisa even at night, unlike the words of the Rosh and the Rif. So that's how. That's how he learns that. Okay, let's move on. The next part of the Mishnah says as follows: Omer Yeshua ben Karcha Lama Kadma Parsha Shema Levohayim Shmo. Why is the paragraph of Shema before the paragraph of Vohayim Shmo? So you can ask, well, that's a silly question. Shema is in Parshas. Help me out over here. Veschana. Correct? And Vahayim Shmo is in Parshas Akev. So it's in chronological order. Wait. Frek Tosis. So let's see this Tosis on the top over here. That's what Tosis Kasha. It's an easy answer, but this is Tosis Kasha. V'im Toyimar, Taper Glei, Dekod Mbatara. What do you mean? Why is the Mishnah even asking this question? Well, the Mishnah gives an answer to this question. But what's the question? Why is Shema before Bahayim Shema? That's how it's written in the Torah. So it makes sense that we should read it the same way. Yishleimar. So you can answer like this. The Hachikam, this one's saying, Lama Kadma Akaparsha Sitzes. Why is the first paragraph before the second part? Well, the paragraph of Sitzes is not found after Veschanam. It's not found after Akev, it's in Sefer Bemidbar. It's
Shlach.
Parsha Shlach, right? It's the Maftar of Shlach. It's way before the Kadmal Kuma. It's before all of them. Vadai ein anu chayshin lezeh she koydemes v'tayr. We could care less that the reason why we're reading one paragraph before the other has nothing to do with where it's found in the Torah. And then he throws in Mishum Diamrinan because we know that ein mukhtam u'muchar. The Torah is not written in chronological order anyway to teach us that the Torah is not a history book, right? The Torah is Noigel Ladoros. So if it's written in chronological order, a person may have that misconception. The Torah is merely a history book. It's not written that way. So therefore, since it's written out of order anyway, so the fact that the third paragraph of the Shema is really written first in the Torah is not a reason that we should want to read it first. It doesn't make a difference. Because the Torah is not written in order anyway. So the fact that you find things in a certain order in the Torah doesn't necessarily mean that it came before it. V'im Kain, says Tosus, Hayu lonu l'hatim V'hoya she medaberes b'lashon rabim. So therefore he says like this, maybe if you are going to look at the first and second paragraphs, you can still say it's not chronological order, but if there's no other reason to put the second paragraph first, then still put it the way it's written in the Torah. Tosa says that maybe the second paragraph of Hayim Shemo should be first, because it's Lashon Rabbim. What does that mean? Lashon Rabbim, it's like gave to more people, it's more applicable to more people, so it should come first. Lashon Yachid, the first paragraph, so they should put it second. It's, you know, it doesn't apply to everyone, to the klal. So therefore, that's how he explains it. So that's how Tosfos explains the kasha of why the first paragraph comes before the second. What's the whole question? Is because the Torah is not written in chronological order. Now, I didn't see this, but I'd like to believe that Tosfos is actually connecting to the Gemara before. Because the Gemara before said, in the people in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say the third paragraph. They didn't say the third paragraph at all. Because you can ask, what was Tosfos' kasha? Tosfos' kasha, the first paragraph comes before the second paragraph in the Torah anyway. So Tosfos answers, you have a look at the third paragraph. So what do you mean? I was obvious. That was an obvious answer. What was he asking? Obviously, the third paragraph, we all know the third paragraph comes before paragraph 1 and 2. So Tosfos could have been asking in the kasha that we see that not everyone even says the third paragraph, right? So if you would just therefore look at the first two paragraphs, so then you don't have the question. Why would the Gemara ask the question? Why would the Mishnah actually ask the question? Because there's only really two paragraphs on the Shema. The third paragraph we don't even say in the Shema. So that's the possibility of how to read that. Now before we're going to see the Gemara in a second, I'd also like to share with you one other thought in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef asks the following kasha. Says, maybe it's still not a question. Because, what, you're supposed to say B'chaim Shema before Shema? Right, which is kind of strange. Because we've been learning all the way up until this point, there's a machlokas among different opinions, what parts do you need to have Mamish Kavana, Perishamilos, and everything for? Shema, Baruch Shem, maybe the first sentence, maybe the first paragraph. And there are those that say the paragraph in the Shema is so important that that's D'oraisa. That's a Midoraisa. The other paragraph, even the second paragraph, is Midorabana, according to many Shitas. So the question is, why would you think that you would maybe put V'hoim Shema before Shema? V'hoim Shema, according to so many poskim, is merely Midorabana. Obviously, the paragraph in the Shema, which is D'oraisa, should come before. Right? What's the Gemara asking? Of course, the Shema is D'oraisa. It's more important. That paragraph. So certainly a D'oraisa should come before a D'rabana. And he beautifully answers, the Shagas Arya says like this, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Just because one is D'oraisa and one's D'rabana does not necessarily mean that we have to put the D'oraisa ahead of the D'rabana. And he gives us a proof by Kiddush, because in those Machlokes B'Sham Beis Hillel, and he's Parak, we passed like Beis Hillel that when it comes to Friday night, there's two brachos, Birchas Hayayin and then Birchas Hayom, right? And which one do we do first? Birchas Hayayin. Now, Birchas Hayayin is Midrabanan. Birchas Hayom is D'oraisa, right? So you would maybe think, says the Shagas Arya, that based on logic, that you should have to say you should say Mekadesh HaShabbos first, because that's D'oraisa, right? So Zorchas Yom HaShabbos, having a cup of wine and making Brei Pekah, that's a D'rabanan. Well, it doesn't matter. The fact, for whatever reason, Mark gives, because the Tadr Shein HaTadr, we drink wine, well, you can drink wine anytime. Mekadesh HaShabbos is only once a week on Shabbos. So therefore we do the first one, that which is more frequent, which is wine. But we see, the Shagas Arya explains, that just because one is D'oraisa does not necessarily mean that that's a reason that you should say that as the first paragraph. Right? So that's how he addresses the question. So let's at least begin this Gemara. There's a lot to talk about on it. Let's see the Gemara. Now again, the Mishnah answers this question. But for some reason, the Gemara is going to come up with a second answer to this question of why the first paragraph is first, why the second paragraph is second, and the third paragraph is third. We'll see the Mishnah. We don't have to see the Mishnah because the Gemara is going to end up quoting it. We may not get up to it, but we'll see. Time. We learn as follows. We learn in the Braisa of Rav Shimon, Ben Yochai Omer B'dinhu. It makes sense. It's logical. Shi'atim Shema Levahim Shema. Why? Why would you think the first paragraph of Shema should be first? Shezeh Lilmod V'zeh Lulamid. Because this paragraph of Shema is talking about learning. V'zeh Lulamid. The other one is to teach. Okay? So, first you learn a little bit, then you teach. I shouldn't have said it that way. Apparently, it shows out of learning and teaching, the most important thing is to learn. Learning is the most important thing, and then the secondary is teaching, which is what the second paragraph of the Shema is. V'hoyim Shemoa Livayomer, and the second paragraph of V'hoyim Shemoa comes first, and before Vayomer, Shezeh Lilmod V'zeh Lasos. Because the second paragraph is about teaching, as we said. The third paragraph is about doing, right? Putting on tzitzis and whatever. So, there's learning, which is more important than teaching. And then teaching, which is more important than doing. Which is not the correct way of reading this Gemara, but I'm purposely reading it incorrectly to be able to ask a question on it. It's brought down in the by the Ritva. That's the question that when it comes to Levaya, when it comes to a Hesped, there's a Shaila exactly how many people is necessary to go to a Hesped. So it depends on if it's a Talmud Chacham, it's a knowledgeable person. If he's someone who learns Torah, very learned, then you're supposed to have, we learn out through different sources, Shishim Rebuah, 600,000 connected to the Har Sinai, learning Torah there. But the Gemara in Megillah says in other places that it's only when it comes to someone who learns. But someone who teaches L'man D'masni Leis Le Shi'ura, even more than 600,000 people. So we see from the Gemara over there, in Ksuvos he quotes in a lot of places, that teaching is more important than learning. Right? How could the Gemara over here say the reason why the first paragraph comes first because it's learning, and learning must be more important than teaching? But we see over here when it comes to a Hesped, that when it comes to someone who's learned, there's a cap, a huge amount of numbers, 600,000, but there's a number. When it comes to someone who teaches, Leisle Shi'ur, there's no teaching at all. Right? So the answer is like this. The answer is I didn't read the Gemara properly, though. I was reading it that learning is better than teaching. It's not true. Teaching certainly is better than learning. But the idea is you can't teach unless you've learned it first. That's what the Ritva says. Learning, first you have to learn, and then you can teach. Unfortunately, some teachers may not be very learned, but in theory, that's the idea. And therefore, he says, since the first paragraph is only learning, the second paragraph is teaching, so first you learn, then you teach. Okay, fine. Let's continue with the Gemara. Gemara asks, that's not true. Not true. Learning, teaching, and doing. It's not the case. Atu what? Shema Lilmod Isbe. You're telling me the Shema only has a mention of learning in the Pesukim. Lamed V'lasos Leisbe. The first paragraph you think doesn't talk about teaching Torah? Doesn't talk about doing any mitzvos? Well, let's look at what the first paragraph says. V'haksiv V'shinantem. What's V'shinantem? Supposed to teach it, right? And does it have any mention in the first paragraph anything about doing lasos? Of course. Yuksharten, yuksavten. It talks about putting on tefillin, talks about putting on a mezuzah. So how could you tell me the first paragraph only has a mention of learning, has teaching and doing? Vesu, and further ask another question. Bahayim Shema Lamed Hu the East Bay, telling me that the second paragraph only mentions teaching. But lasos leisbe, you want to tell me that it does not mention any type of mitzvahs about doing a mitzvah? But it also says in the second paragraph, Ukshartem Uksavtem. So it mentions doing there also. So what do you mean that reason that the second paragraph has teaching in it, implying that it does not have lasos? It also says lasos. El Hakikomer. This is the correct way of reading the Gemara. This is really what he meant to say. We'll have to stop after this line. But Dinhu, technically speaking, Shetakhtim Shema Elohim Shema. Why should the first paragraph of Shema come first, because Shema has in it all three elements. Shezeh Lilmod Lamin Lasos. Because it has learning, it has teaching, And it has doing. It has all three wrapped into one. That's why this first paragraph comes first, because it has everything that you can think of in it. The second paragraph, why does it come there? It doesn't have learning, but at least has in it teaching and doing. The reason why the third paragraph, we say the third paragraph very end, because it does not have learning, does not have teaching. All it has is lasos of doing mitzvahs, and therefore it comes last. And it has next in 2 weeks, or maybe 3 weeks, the Gemara's kasha is, well, why come up with this reason? The Mishnah is going to have a completely different reason, which we'll see then. We'll stop here.